it's kicking, it's singing.
Coming out the slums, that's the hot drums.
know. For starters, she showed us what an eighth of an ounce of pot looked like.
Here it is right here. And here at the Grove, this will cost you $60 plus tax. So it comes out to about $73.
All right, so that was last Monday. By Friday, Randy had gotten very comfortable and had gotten a very thorough budgetation.
Now, this is considered a sativa. So this is a very high energy marijuana, which Coloradans apparently like because they're active people here in Colorado. But then there's another one here called indica. And Anderson, indica means sort of like indica couch.
So here's what happened Friday. Randy was reporting on the new so-called ganjapreneurs, companies like Colorado Rocky Mountain High, which runs marijuana tours like wine tours in Napa, complete with a personal cannabis concierge and gourmet snacks. Being a resourceful reporter, Randy, of course, got in contact with some sources. She got in a lot of contact. Basically, she rode around in the limousine all day with the windows rolled up, I might add, visiting some dispensaries. And let's just say after a while, the air quality in that limo was thick, to say the least. I mean, just look at that. It smelled like Willie Nelson's bandana in there.
Most famous and widely read columnist has a confession to make. A shocking expose, conservative David Brooks cops to having smoked weed with high school buddies before aging out of the drug. For a little while in my teenage years, my friends and I smoked marijuana, he writes. It was fun. I have some fond memories of us all being silly together. I think those moments of uninhibited frolic deepened our friendships. Smoking pot made you a loser. And instead, he and his homies, quote, graduated to more satisfying pleasures like love and literature. Brooks concludes that in legalizing marijuana, the citizens of Colorado are nurturing a moral ecology in which it is a bit harder to be the sort of person most of us want to be. Well, the one kind of person most people don't want to be is a person caught in the criminal justice system.
At the end of the day, or of reporting, I asked Randy about her joint investigation. So, Randy, I got to ask, how extensive was your research in the back of that limo?
You know, Anderson, it was top-notch. We did very extensive research, I have to tell you. Wasn't thinking right. I couldn't remember even some of the questions that I wanted to ask in the interview, which has never happened to me when I'm reporting in the field. And I found things to be really funny.
But it was just a contact high. I just want to make that clear. Is that correct?
Yes, it was just a contact.
Randy then went on to prove live on the air that even a contact high can elicit a tinge of wonderment and perhaps a bit of hyperbole.
And if you saw those joints, I don't know if you could see them through the video there, but they were like the size of small cannons.
Right.
other people's drug stories are generally about as interesting as hearing them recount the minutia of their dreams, the Brooks column has occasioned a fruitful round of discussion of the obvious fact that lots and lots and lots of people have and do smoke pot who are not people we consider criminals. So let me add my own story to the mix, which I think is illustrative. In the summer of 2000, as a 21-year-old college student, my then girlfriend, now wife, and I thought it would be fascinating from a kind of sociological perspective to check out the 2000 Republican National Convention in Philadelphia. My father-in-law is a journalist and had some credentials, and so we went down there to meet up with him. Fresh off the Amtrak, we headed to the First Union Center, and as we passed through the first security checkpoint and I put my overnight bag through an X-ray machine, I remembered, to my horror, that I had left a bag of about $30 worth of weed in there. It was inside a case for my glasses. Why was I walking around with $30 of pot in my eyeglass case? I don't know. I forgot it was there. I was 21. These things happen. But I breathed a sigh of relief as the bag passed through without notice, and as we skated through another checkpoint, I thought, well, that was a close call. But then we reached the final checkpoint. And I quickly realized that at this station, every single bag was being searched. I put my bag down and watched with mounting dread and nausea as a Philadelphia police officer, not some rent-a-cop, went through one compartment, and then a second, and finally a third, where he withdrew my eyeglass case. He shook it, felt there was something inside, then opened it, and his head jerked back in surprise, and he whirled around, holding his back to me, and inspected the offending substance. He called over two other cops, and the three of them stood with their backs to us, conferring for what felt like a very, very long time. I thought about running, but then realized this was the most heavily policed acre of land in the entire United States at that moment. I told Kate what was happening, and then, out of a sense of mounting panic and impotence, I ran over to my father-in-law and blurted out, I had some weed in my bag, and I think the cops just found it. My father-in-law was surprised. What? Why? And just as we were walking back towards the cops, the principal one, the one who found the weed, turned around, took the overnight bag, put it down, and looked at me. I reached out my hand to claim it, figuring this would be the point he would slap cuffs on me and I'd be under arrest. And to my shock, he just looked at me impassively. And I looked back at him and I picked up my bag with the eyeglass case and weed inside and headed into the convention center. My father-in-law shook his head in amazement at both my stupidity and my luck. I've rerun that incident a countless times since, and while I have no earthly idea why the cop not only didn't arrest me, but also decided to give me my weed back, the best case seems to be that he looked at me and figured I could have been some senator's son, and that arresting me was going to possibly cause a whole bunch of headaches that he did not need on a night when he was mostly there to make sure no one was bringing weapons or explosives into that building. And I can tell you as sure as I'm sitting here before you that if I was a black kid with cornrows instead of a white kid with glasses, my ass would have been in the back of a squad car faster than you can say George W. Bush. So yeah, David Brooks, smoking weed with your buddies had no consequences for you and your crew. But that's the entire point. It has very real consequences for lots of people. Black people and white people use marijuana at roughly the same rates, and yet black people are nearly four times as likely to be arrested for marijuana possession. So while thousands of junior David Brookses do bong hits in dorm rooms, there are thousands of kids on the streets of the South Side of Chicago and Harlem and Compton getting their first charge on a marijuana possession, getting entered into the system with a record and a court date, being marked early as a certain kind of person. It's just one in a number of insidious ways our laws are used to sort our society, pushing some people from certain backgrounds into one category and the David Brookses and hell Chris Hayeses of the world into the other.
You want the record? Cool, I'm with it. smooth lyrics that take place. If you want another reason why it must be funky, yo, I am not a jackass, meaning not a donkey. So I will play the game like it should be played. Drop the funk and do the mix so the bass will never fade. Ship it to the station in your jurisdiction. Brothers say I'm dope and the others think I'm bitching. No crowd can avoid the D-O to the C. Wanna be E-O-R-4-I-M-I-N-G on the stage. See the simple fact is I am dope and known. I rock a funky beat without a chord. So here is my conclusion. You will enjoy the fusion and I will ascend with the style that I am using. Knowing that it's tough, finish not a buff. I think I'll let it play cause dread say it's funky enough.
Andy, did you say those joints were like smoking cannons? They were as big as small cannons?
They are so big. When Barbara whipped it out to light it up, nobody wanted to light it. Everybody was afraid to touch it because it was so big.
In his tracks, show him that I am ruthless. I don't give a damn. Don't think that I am joking, cause I don't think he is funny when you're messing with my money. And stupid, tell me this. You'll try, you gotta stop him. But with no frills, so I just drop him. Continue with the rhyme and make sure I get mine with no static, cause it's over. Now send G to get my nine. But lessons I've endured, now I get it all in front and let it play. When the people say, Trey, oh, you're a fucking enough.
Hey, this is Dr. Furious there in the background, DOC. I'm here in the studio, Dr. DJ Nice Mike. And we're also chilling with WCUM listeners out there here locally, also all over the place. And thanks for doing what you're doing at WCUM LP, Chapel Hill Carborough, 103.5. You can also hear us online. Check it out at WCOM FM, WCOMFM.org, or go to FuriousG.blogspot.com. Oh, yeah, hey, by the way, the show may have been offensive to some of you guys out there in the listening audience. For the rest of you, for the majority of you, it won't. Here's some fun stuff. I'm furious. Furious!
Just tuning in, a horrific accident. Dozens are dead and hundreds more injured after the Coors Light party train crashed in Pratt, Kansas. The train was barreling through a field on its way to liven up a boring, overheated barbecue when something went wrong. Partiers were thrown hundreds of feet from the train as the frost-powered locomotive careened through bystanders at its normal speed of over 27,000 miles per hour. Rescue crews are struggling to get close to the crash. The Rocky Mountain frost radiating from the downed silver bullet is flash-freezing survivors' bodies as they try to escape the wreckage. And the OJ's hit song, Love Train, is looping at deafening levels. It's a frustrating scene out there for the paramedics dealing with the cold-activated, frost-brewed Coors Light bottles that are constantly materializing in their open hands. Hundreds are still considered missing at this point, including the train's conductor and engineer. No word yet on the cause of the accident, but investigators are focusing now on the fact that the train weighs 400 million tons and was not on rails. The damage has been monumental, one of the deadliest train crashes in U.S. history. Now, for those who have not yet seen the crash footage, we have to warn you, it is graphic. Coors Light has released the following statement, quote, Coors Light regrets any loss of life caused by the Coors Light party train's raw, frosty power. Please continue to enjoy Coors Light.
What's running through my mind comes through the walls with true feelings of show from the way that I talk. And this is me, y'all. I'm in here and I still do what I please. But now I'd like to introduce my brother Mike D. Is gonna tell you the truth.
My name is D, y'all, and I don't play. And I can rock or drop it to your head.
So what the fuck you saying?
I like a Jimmy Walker. I like to well, now I like the fastest Michael.
To me!
And I'm rocking to all you to wear to your side.
Well, I'm the ACR! Oh, CJ in the place with these wavos going off. The way I can't stop you.
Stop, y'all.
Check, y'all.
Check,
y'all. And when you think that you're sick, you catch a breath, y'all. Cause I'm a German, I'm a German, or just the best. So you can get here.
I give thanks
for the inspiration.
Well, the guys are noodle along the way.
A lot of suckers getting jealous and not talking about it. But that's just because they haven't got shit to say. So I said, what word am I?
This year, due to the largest overhaul of the tax system in 80 years, North Carolina is getting rid of their earned income tax credit. This change in the tax law was passed by the GOP-controlled government in the previous legislative session. On top of that, the state's richest residents and corporations will receive large tax breaks. And the North Carolina Justice Center estimates residents with average incomes of nearly $1 million will receive a total tax cut of nearly $10,000, while the corporate tax rate will decline from 6.9% to 5% next year and could fall all the way to 3% if revenue goals are met in 2017. Now joining us to unpack all this is Bill Black. To a flat tax will affect state residents.
Sure. And I also teach public finance, so we do this type of thing in class all the time. First, this is not something unique to North Carolina. This is the standard playbook when the GOP gets control of a state under the Tea Party. So they move from any type of progressive tax system in which the rich pay more to a deeply regressive system in which the poor pay a higher percentage of their income. Now, the earned incomes tax credit was an idea that largely came from conservative economists like Milton Friedman. So this has been an idea that has had broad support of both parties. And the idea is to help out people who are working typically full time, but just earn barely enough to be right or at or the poverty line. And the earned income tax credit helps these people have a little bit of additional money so kids can get to health care and shoes and things like that there. And so it's been one of the most attractive and programs to both parties. It is routinely praised by economists, and naturally, therefore, that's what they want to get rid of.
Our question, conversation question, is the U.S. becoming a police state? What do you think about this? 202 is the area code for Republicans, 585-3881. For Democrats, 585-3880. Independents, 585-3882. And if you live outside the U.S. and you're watching us, you can dial in and participate in this conversation as well, 585-3883. You can also make a comment via social media. At C-SPAN-WJ is our Twitter handle.
Gathering. Well, for more, we're joined by Democracy Now! Video stream by Green.
Run the jewels.
Talk about, but there are other aspects to this security, stop and frisk.
My, he's a thick, voluptuous man.
Oh, the dad will want a sandwich.
To the impatient Joe, the men seemed almost purposely stalling. They stowed their gear.
Joe smelled conspiracy in everything.
Our pants have a waistband with repressed memories.
Please, consider my legs for cleaning your pipe.
There goes the last shred of dignity, folks.
Barbara Hale and Doughy Guy in The Defiant One.
Roll fizzle beef.
Now that I'm driving, those caribou don't stand a chance.
Oh. Those oil barrels just leap out in front of him?
By now, so his plan is to rid the world of the police has advanced to the point where the war on crime and the war on drugs are no longer metaphors but bland understatements. There is the proliferation of heavily armed SWAT teams, even in small towns, the use of shock and awe tactics to bust small-time bookies, the no-knock raids to recover trace amounts of drugs that often result in the killing of family dogs, if not family members, and in communities where drug treatment programs once were key, the waging of a drug version of counterinsurgency war.
Roll fizzle beef.
Now that I'm driving, those caribou don't stand a chance.
Those oil barrels just leap out in front of him?
So his plan is to rid the world of security guards by changing them into werewolves one by one and then having them crash their cars.
This is ably reported on journalist Radley Balco's blog and in his book, The Rise of the Warrior Cop. But American over-policing involves far more than the widely reported armoring up of your local precinct. It is also the way police power has entered the DNA of social policy, turning just about every sphere of American life into a police matter. Starts in our schools, where discipline is increasingly outsourced to police personnel.
Doing?
We were eating your food.
Listening to me.
I'd say something extraordinary happened to both of us then. Made a recording. Tell me what you think.
Murder.
I'm sure I recorded it.
Apparently, he eats jellied gasoline on toast every morning.
What not long ago would have been seen as normal childhood misbehavior, doodling on a desk, a kindergartner's tantrum, can leave a kid in handcuffs, removed from school, or even booked at the local precinct. Such criminals can be as young as 7-year-old Wilson Reyes, a New Yorker who was handcuffed and interrogated under suspicion of stealing $5 from a classmate.
He filled her back, building a better back for you.
Yeah.
Texas Skin Ranger.
Here's the windup and the pitch.
Werewolf?
No, werewolf. Where? Say it.
They also can tell when a man is Yanaglanchi. He takes on a series of strange body habits.
Wears toast in his pants.
Like sleeping like a coyote, nose to hands.
The hot body. Comes in to try to get that Yanaglanchi.
I'm here growling. Same time under the blanket, you're cowering. Cowering like cowards, cowering on concrete showers in Rikers Island. Victims, we the wolves is wildin'. We all smiling at sights of violence. Acting brave and courageous ain't advantageous for health and safety. So when we say run, the Jews just run, baby. Please don't delay me. And that goes for a guy, lady. The fam, goddamn, we fucking crazy. I pull this pistol, put it on your poodle, love your fucking baby. She clutched the pearl, said what the world, and I won't give up shit. I put the pistol on that poodle, and I shot that beat.
Run the Jews.
And the mob says kill that witch. This city get mad to the max, better wave money buys at a high straight kid. Get a 10-4 half of the raining. Hot water from the roof to the basement. I'ma smoke to the planet erases. Build a white flag at a zigzag waving.
All thin, I'm smoking coffin. Sip lean on a bean like Boston. My young bitch, you'll find like Henry, but she made that move in coffin. But when my wife in town, a jacket brown, just stay up off me. Cause if they don't, somebody get shot and they gon' buy a coffin.
With the pull of a pin, a grenade, and a crowd that they feed it, it's ultimate options. I'm a fool for the win, I've been made to be live, but these others have drowned and softened. In the urn of the dirt, get tossed it. With a grin of a smirk, get a cost it. I'ma stand on a verse like a kid in a hearse, or a nine in a cum shot, stop it.
Big beast in the cage with a heart for the rage, it seems I can't behave. You can try to get out, oh well, you fail, it seems the world can't be saved. These streets is full with the wolves that starve for the week, so they after the week. In a land for the lambs, I am, and I be damned if I'm show my
run the jewels, jewels, jewels.
Run the jewels, 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 jewels.
We want to hear from you whether or not you think the U.S. is a police state or is becoming a police state. We're going to begin with a Democrat in Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Patrick. Good morning, Patrick.
What do you think?
How are you?
But at the risk of sounding nuts.
I've replaced my toes with grapes.
Creating a police state, but how the acquisition of over 2 million bullets, hollow point bullets by Homeland Security.
And they're establishing the hell out of this building here.
Yeah.
His hair is completely different.
I've gone back to my darker, shorter hair now.
This guy's had his fourth hairdo since the movie started.
Well, now this clown's got Brian Ferry hair. Boom, another hairstyle.
Wait, now he's got gray hair.
Oh, God, he became a bat? A bug? What is that?
Ben!
The least successful werewolf of all time.
What a Kirk Douglas's house!
Homeland Security. It is the modern version of the Gestapo.
I'm going to get all sexy now.
Yes!
Form of totalitarianism that is compartmentalized, that is corporatized, in order to make it blameless to to say that one arm doesn't know what the other arm is doing.
I'm chasing my own tire.
If you call me that again,
I can tell you the corporate ties direction begins and ends with the state of Israel and the Israel faction.
That's Patrick in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. We're talking about the police state here in America.
Graphically portrayed.
He's a wereworm.
Yes, we're already in a police state. To give you an example, I live in Baldwin County, Alabama. We are the only county in the United States of America this year. One of our state senators got this year, they passed a law that no one in the county is eligible, although to run for sheriff of Baldwin County.
Where are you?
The new law states, it's economical not to have a storyline, because then you can just film people saying.
Or the sheriff's damages. In other words, then you got to be not an ex-deputy to retire. You got to be current employed.
He's almost as hairy as Robin Williams.
I'm not holding back anything.
Changes the law in Montgomery, Alabama.
Fremont, the future condition.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think we are becoming more of a police state.
A good sign when the action in the movie is upstaged by a mural.
Nobody wanted to light it. Everybody was afraid to touch it because it was so big. Nobody had seen such a big joint before.
How much longer are you going to be there for, Randy? Are you moving there? Or?
I think I need to come home.
I think you.
I'm coming
you need
home
to come
tomorrow.
Back to the East Coast. Yeah, come back to the East Coast.
Do you
Randy.
Think they'll know?
All right, thanks very much.
I'm pretty damn lucky. I did not get arrested that night. My privilege kept me free. I wish Brooks realizes how lucky he was, too. More on the open secret of our drug laws, double standard, ahead.
Randy Kay giggling, talking about whipping out small cannons. Just be...
Amin Sheikh, welcome to our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. Today we will spend the rest of the hour unraveling one of the great mysteries of the Vietnam War era. On March 8, 1971, a group of eight activists, including a cab driver, a daycare director, and two professors, broke into an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, and stole every document they found. The activists, calling themselves the Citizens Commission to investigate the FBI, soon began leaking shocking details about FBI abuses to the media. Among the documents was one that bore the mysterious word COINTELPRO.
No one involved in the break-in was ever caught. Their identities remained a secret until this week. Today, three of the FBI burglars will join us on the show. But first, I want to turn to a new short film produced by the nonprofit news organization Retro Report for the New York Times. It's titled Stealing J. Edgar Hoover's Secrets.
It's the greatest heist you've never heard of, and one of the most important.
Last March, someone broke into the FBI offices in Media, Pennsylvania, stole some records, and mailed copies of them around to several newspapers.
Those records would help bring an end to J. Edgar Hoover's secret activities within the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
He ordered his agents not only to expose new left groups, but to take action against them to neutralize them.
Many Americans were tapped and bugged, had their mail opened by the CIA and the FBI.
The burglars were never caught, and the details have remained a mystery until now. A new book, The Burglary, reveals for the first time who did it and how they used a crowbar to pry open one of the best-kept and darkest secrets in American history.
We were early whistleblowers before whistleblowers were known as such.
The burglars are stepping out of the shadows just as new revelations about secret intelligence operations have many people asking, how much is too much when personal privacy is at stake?
If you call me that again.
Stop it.
Stop it immediately.
Hey!
It's the Red Shoe Diaries all of a sudden.
The danger of hair oil graphically portrayed. He's a wereworm.
Let's get it nice like this on my night like this. Sword in my hand, I fight like this. And I'm more than a man, I'm a god. Bitch, touche, on guard. Two-play trap and a two-tits pop out of that tank top and bra. And when I say do, 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 bitch, that beat me up. Some more of this, I give her more of this. I wear this effect, I know she missed the way I floored this.
Hundreds more injured after the Coors Light party train crashed in Pratt, Kansas. The train was barreling through a field on its way to liven up a boring, overheated barbecue when something went wrong. Partiers were thrown hundreds of feet from the train as the frost-powered locomotive careened through bystanders at its normal speed of over 27,000 miles per hour. Rescue crews are struggling to get close to the crash. The Rocky Mountain frost radiating from the downed silver bullet is flash-freezing survivors' bodies as they try to escape the wreckage. And the OJ's hit song, Love Train, is looping at deafening levels. It's a frustrating scene out there for the paramedics dealing with the cold-activated frost-brewed Coors Light bottles that are constantly materializing in their open hands. Hundreds are still considered missing at this point.
Marijuana function on fire. Burn the roof off this month of sight. Wood is calling. Go crazy like no other weed steady blowing. Pass the bud to my mama runs in the family. But puff, keep a nigga fiending. Faded, faded, faded ride. Shot glass, super size. She gon' get some dick tonight. Meet me at the W and know it's not the west side. Stick it up your south side.
Colorado Rocky Mountain High, which runs marijuana tours like wine tours in Napa, like personal cannabis concierge and gourmet snacks. Being a resourceful reporter, Randy, of course, got in contact with sources. She got in a lot of contact. Basically, she rode around in the limousine all day with the windows rolled up, I might add, visiting some dispensaries, and let's just say after a while, the air quality in that limo was thick, to say the least. I mean, I asked Randy about her joint investigation. So, Randy, I gotta ask, how extensive was your research in the back of that limo?
You know, Anderson, it was top-notch. We did very extensive research, I have to tell you. I wasn't thinking right. I couldn't remember even some of the questions that I wanted to ask in the interview, which has never happened to me when I'm reporting in the field. And I found things to be really funny.
Including the train's conductor and engineer. No word yet on the cause of the accident, but investigators are focusing now on the fact that the train weighs 400 million tons and was not on rails.
To the Rains and six others, including a social worker, a graduate student, and a taxi driver named Keith Forsyth.
We agreed to meet someplace where we could talk. And he says, what would you think about the idea of breaking into an FBI office? And I look at him and I'm like, you're serious, aren't you? I was pretty vehement in my opposition to the war, and I felt like marching up and down the street with a sign was not cutting it anymore. And it was like, okay, time to kick it up a notch.
The crew decided to break into a small FBI field office in Media, Pennsylvania.
Once I got over the shock of thinking that this was the nuttiest thing I'd ever heard in my life, I'm like, this is a great idea because we're not going to make any allegations. We're going to take their own paperwork signed by their own people, including J. Edgar Hoover, and give it to the newspapers.
Or a criminal, and Patrick says, well, it isn't getting better. While we are no North Korea, the level of surveillance on American citizens and laws forced on the American people aren't steps in the right direction.
So let's see you argue with that. In the Rain's third floor attic, the team divvied up responsibilities and assigned tasks. They hung maps to learn about the neighborhood, planned escape routes, and they took extensive notes on the comings and goings in the building.
I signed up for a correspondence course in locksmithing. That was my job, to get us in.
Darren Dazz.
Practice several times a week. After a month, you get pretty good.
So much litter on the highway.
Skinwalker?
Skinwalker.
Texas Skin Ranger.
Here's the windup and the pitch. Work.
Bonnie was assigned the job of going inside and casing the office.
I was to call the office and make an appointment as a Swarthmore student doing research on opportunities for women in the FBI. So they gave me an appointment. I tried to disguise myself as best I could, and I went to say goodbye, and I acted confused.
Coming at her at a frightening pace.
Wait, her dress is pretty muddy.
Suddenly she's a medieval wench.
That gave me a chance then to check out both rooms and know where the file cabinets were.
Bonnie discovered there was no alarm system and no security guards. She also found a second door leading inside.
When she came back with that news, we became convinced, yes, I think we can get this done. We had more to lose than anybody else in the group because we had these kids.
We faced the reality of if we were arrested and on trial, we would be in prison for very many years. We had to make some plans for that.
With a solid understanding of how they would conduct the break-in, they now needed to figure out when.
15 March 8, 1971, Fraser and Ali were fighting for the championship of the world.
Wait, her dress
and,
is pretty much.
We had the feeling that maybe the cops might be a little bit distracted.
While the crew waited at a nearby hotel, Forsythe arrived at the office alone.
Pull up, walk up to the door, and one of the locks is a cylinder tumbler lock, not a pin tumbler lock. And I just about had a heart attack. Bottom line is I could not pick that lock.
They almost called it off, but that second door that Bonnie noticed gave them another chance.
At that point, you know that you're going to have to wing it. Knelt down on the floor, picked the lock in like 20 seconds. There was a deadbolt on the other side. I had a pry bar with me, a short curl bar. I put the bar in there and yanked that sucker. At one point, I heard a noise inside the office. And I'm like, are they in there waiting for me? Basically said to myself, there's only one way to find out. I'm going in.
Next, the inside crew walked into an empty office wearing business suits and carrying several suitcases. They cleaned out file cabinets and then made their way downstairs to the getaway car and drove off unnoticed. Started unpacking.
We were like, oh man, I can't believe this worked. We knew there was going to be some gold in there somewhere.
Each of the eight of us were sorting files, and all of a sudden, you'd hear one of them, oh, look at this one, look.
After several long nights digging for documents that looked the most revealing, the burglars sent copies to journalists, including Washington Post reporter Betty Metzger.
And Kai,
what do you think you're doing? Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Think.
I gotta have time to recopy it. You realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting?
You know, that's getting pretty scary. And even senators like Chuck Schumer and some of those big senators over there wrote a letter to the IRS demanding that they silence the Tea Party before the election.
Because they want to hurt the poor working class, which doesn't vote for them much.
On the surface, this sounds to be very attractive because you have the ordinary people, their tax rate would drop from about 6 to 7% to about 5.8%. So they're at the end of the day paying less in taxes. So why isn't this favorable to working people?
Well, defining ordinary people as not including people who are eligible for the earning tax credit, I think, is a dubious thing. The cutoff for the earned income tax credit in North Carolina in general was $50,000. So we're talking about a very significant portion of the working class.
Quiet. I'm gonna read your thoughts.
Let's see now. You
come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me. You want me to buy a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post?
No.
Not a word. Not a word. Not a word now. Quiet. Donations. You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary?
Doc. From the future.
To get back to the year 1985. Do you know what this means? It means that this damn thing doesn't work!
Daniel, Vancouver, Washington, Democrats line. Daniel, you're on the Washington Journal.
Hello, thank you. Yes, we are becoming a police state.
We'll be right back.
yes, it was just a contact.
Randy then went on to prove live on the air that even a contact high can elicit a tinge of wonderment and perhaps a bit of hyperbole.
If you saw those joints, I don't know if you could see them through the video there, but they were like the size of small cannons.
Randy, did you say those joints were like smoking cannons? They were as big as small cannons?
They are so big. When Barbara whipped it out to light it up, nobody wanted to light it. Everybody was afraid to touch it because it was so big. Nope.
All right. Hey, listen, this is the Furious George Show, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro, WCOM FM 103.5, Micropower Radio, which basically means we are a small sliver, a slice of the free speech airwaves that happen to be non-commercial, non-corporate driven. The only stakeholders we have are you folks there in the listening audience who happen to be surrounding our studio 100 watts from here. Wherever 100 watt light can shine. Actually, I get it several miles away. And if the actual radio transmitter light isn't shining on you, you might be listening right now either through online at wcomfm.org or maybe at furiousg.blogspot.com, where we post all our old shows and other fun stuff. You can check it out there, furiousg.blogspot. Or just do what you're doing right now. There's going to be some even, you know, we're going to be continuing this crazy theme, even more of this craziness. So if you like what you're hearing, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm furious.